Okay.
You got that right.
All right. Galatians chapter 3. Now, we speak freely here, William. So, you got questions, we could entertain it, comments. We left off last week in chapter 3, and we found out that Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law. And the curse of the law is what?
Sin. Death.
It's death. Death. And a lot of times, now we might say law, but I think it hits home when you, what's a synonym for law?
Performance.
It's when you say performance, it tends to bring it to the 2013. When you say law, you automatically attach the Ten Commandments, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like we did here. But law is performance. It's anything that you try to do to gain God's approval for righteousness. Because we know that if you're under the works of the law says what? You have to do what?
All.
You have to do all. You don't pick one and then run with that. And James said this. We know that. James said that if you offend in one, you're guilty of
all.
Now, we pick 10, right? We pick 10. But that was just what they call the tenor of the law. That means I'm going to give you the tone, or this is a summary mm-hmm. of how I'll deal with you. So if you don't get past the 10, why give you 200 or 300 more? Right? That makes sense, huh?
10 would be easier.
If a 10 would, you know what? That 10, you would think 10 would be easier, right? But if you don't, if you stumble over the 10, why give you 20?
Well, those 10 are the hardest.
They're all hard.
You're right.
Because the Romans said this, because what the law could not do, what could the law not do? It couldn't give you life. It couldn't make you righteous. It couldn't make you the righteousness that God requires. And that's perfection. So why give you, like you said, why give you that yoke? That's what Paul called it. Why put a yoke on you that you or your fathers aren't able to bear? So that keeps us, we found out last week, that Abraham was pronounced righteous by God. Without what?
Performing.
Without performing, without works. What did he do?
Believe.
What did he believe?
Faith in God.
Huh?
What God told him.
What God, give me a stronger word.
Promised
him, right. What God promised him. And God promised him what?
A land.
He promised him that he would, number one, that he would be what? A blessing. Right? And he did promise him a land. That was the what? That was the inheritance. Blessing. That he obtained what?
Righteousness.
And he got that by
believing.
Faith. Right. He didn't do anything. That was Genesis 15. 12, 15. And we talked about it last week. 15 comes before
14.
Comes after 14.
It does.
That's the new man. It's before 17. What happened in 17?
Circumcision.
He began to do what? Huh? You said it. I heard somebody. Huh?
The law.
That was the first part. The circumcision was the first building block of the what?
Performance.
Of the law, the performance. Because they said this. You want the blessing? You want righteousness? You want the inheritance? He says this in 17. he says, you have to do what?
Be circumcised.
Either cut this or you're cut off.
Right. But let me ask you this. Now, we studied circumcision before. Remember we studied circumcision? You were here. Remember we studied circumcision? What did it mean?
Death to the flesh.
Death to the flesh. Which means what? What does that really mean when you say death to the flesh?
You're separated into God.
Okay.
Asking
another way? Right. Death to the flesh. Think about it. Death to the flesh.
Dying to self.
Yeah, to what?
Performance.
To performance. Oh, did you say that?
Yes.
I'm sorry. So, but right, to performance.
Either way, right.
Okay, death to performance. And he used Abraham as an example because how did Abraham perform?
Poorly.
At what point? Genesis 15?
When God promised him and he believed it.
Oh, he went out and tried to helm it himself.
He went out and tried to do what?
Perform.
He went out and tried to perform.
That was how?
Work out.
Hagar.
Hagar. So he got Ishmael by what?
Performance.
So after he gets Ishmael, but now see, this is a good lesson because
he reaped the whirlwind.
Well, but before he even had Ishmael, he was already what?
Righteous.
He was already righteous. Because God had told him in 15 that he was what? That God counted it to him for what?
Righteousness.
So, okay. Here, how long did he keep it?
Forever.
Are you sure?
Yes.
You sure God didn't say, well, he messed up, I take my righteousness back?
Because Paul tells us that we have faith the same way.
He got it. He got it, and he had it. He had it because God... By what?
Promise.
By promise. He gave it to him. He got all this by promise. But later, he put him under a performance.
He put him under?
God put him under a performance.
Circumcision.
17. Genesis 17.
It seems to me like because of Abraham's actions, that's why you're saying that's why he did it. And it's almost like what you taught us about the Israelites at the foot of Mount Sinai when they said, okay, all that you said we'll do. And he says, okay.
Right.
You want to perform? I'm going to let you
perform. But this is even before them.
Right, but what I'm saying is it's sort of the same pattern. Okay, you want to perform? I'll let you perform.
Okay.
Here's what you want to do.
Right. Now, here's 17. Genesis 17. Keep your hand in a marker in Galatians. 17. One. 17:1. You know what? As a matter of fact, just flip back a couple. Just to 15. Verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And Abram said, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus?" And Abram said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he
believed
in the Lord, and he, the Lord is, counted it to him, Abram, for what?
Righteousness.
He counted what to him for righteousness?
Belief.
Okay. Now, look down at verse 8 or 7. We'll just keep going. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this
land
to what?
Inherit
it.
Possess it.
Inherit.
And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? He just told him he would, all right? And he said unto him, Take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And then also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge afterward, shall they come out with great substance. Well, etc. We're not going to cover all that. But look down to verse 18. This is what I wanted. In the same day, the Lord made a
covenant
with Abram, saying, Unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, river Euphrates. So, right. So he says, he makes this covenant with Abram, right?
Right.
But Abram is what?
Not born. Oh.
Childless.
Oh, well, I know you don't. In the passage, Abram is what? He does what to Abram?
Oh, well, what's the difference between he was in a vision at first? Now he's in a deep sleep. How'd that happen?
That's what we're talking about right now. The word of the Lord came to him. Well, he couldn't like open up like we can, right? Well, that's how God operated back then. But when he went to make the covenant with him, he did what?
Sleep. That's not the right answer.
That's the right answer. But why?
Because the covenant God was swearing with himself.
That's right. So, if it's a, it's we're gonna find out if it's a cup.
Nobody else greater to swear himself.
But what's the verse? You got it. You know where it is. All right, Hebrews. Right. Keep that in mind. But he put him to sleep.
We ain't getting it.
So no, you got it. He put him to sleep because the covenant was a covenant of grace. It was a covenant of promise.
No performance.
There's nothing. You know what? He didn't have. He couldn't perform.
No.
Because he's what?
Anesthetized.
The same reason that when Adam was last. If Adam was on a second day, a third day, a fourth day, or fifth day, you can bet he would have been around there doing something, seeing what he could do to help out. What God said on the last day, he said, now, I'm going to make him, and I'm going to put him in what I've already prepared. And you just do what? Dress it and keep it. And he couldn't even do that. Well.
So, just, I know this is kind of a little bit of a rabbit trail, but based on that, so what was the purpose of Adam naming animals? I know it had something to do with him realizing that he's not with a mate, but that doesn't necessarily tie to naming the animals.
I'll let you do some digging on that, and we'll get back to that. So he put Abram to sleep, or he put him to sleep because it's a covenant of one. It's something that God is going to deliver to him on his own. Okay? So, but after that, he doesn't have a son yet. Right? Yeah. Now look at 17.
He's 99 years old.
He's 90 at this time. Right. He's 90 years old at this time.
So
now 17.
15.
Huh? Oh, 17:1. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my
covenant
with between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Verse 7. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Verse 10. And this is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be what?
Circumcised.
And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations, he that is born in the house or brought with money, or any stranger which is not thy seed. He that is born in thy house and he that is bought with thy money must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. That's covenant number 2, right? He just made one in where? 15. That had nothing to do with him, right? Now this covenant, he's telling him to do what? Because he wants, what he wants to do is prepare a people who are righteous. That's what circumcision means. When we talked about it, you say death to the flesh. That was, remember we were talking about how you have to have a background on certain things?
Mm-hmm.
See, if it doesn't make sense to you if you didn't know why God told him to be circumcised, if you don't know about Ishmael. Right? You do know about Ishmael, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So then when you realize that when he starts to circumcise his seed after him, it's telling them, don't work like I did. Wait for God. Trust God. So the people who were supposed to come after, that's why he said, if they don't get circumcised, he's broken my
covenant. It was a sign of the covenant.
This is the agreement.
Right.
Do you want to serve God? Do you believe God? Okay, get circumcised. Okay, no problem. So you get circumcised, that's telling me that I believe God. I'm a believer in God. I'm going to follow him in faith. So as Jews, as time goes on, the Jews, what happened?
They lost faith.
That's why when you go over to Romans, Paul says, let go of Romans. And then we're going to go back to Galatians. I'm sorry. I'll sum that up and get back to Galatians. I was going somewhere with that. It just...
Romans before Galatians.
Romans, yep. Romans 4.
Okay. Romans 4.
Verse, we start at verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham, what?
Believed
God, and it was counted to unto him for what? For righteousness. Now to him that worketh or performs is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of what?
Debt.
But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for what?
Righteousness.
Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Verse 9. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. We did say Abraham believed God, right? And it was counted to him for righteousness. Okay. Look at verse 10. How was it then reckoned? How was it counted to him? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in what? But in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being what? That he might be the father of, here we go, the father of all them that what? Believe, though they be not circumcised. That righteousness might be imputed unto them also. That was pretty clear, right?
Mm-hmm.
He said, here's Abraham, uncircumcised, Gentile. He was a Gentile. God made him a promise. He said, I believe it. God said, you're righteous, right?
Mm-hmm.
No circumcision, no works, nothing. He said, right there, we find out now that he was the father of all them that what?
Amen.
That we could be righteous by faith. Without
works.
Without
before.
Right.
Oh, it's before the law.
It's before the law. 430 years before the law.
Mm-hmm.
That's what. So he says, you can get it just like he got it. Abraham. Right? That makes you that we're all, that's what Paul said, we're all the children of God by faith. Okay? So we go down the line a little bit, and then God says, get circumcised. And Paul said this right here. He tells us now, he said it was a seal. You know what a seal means? It denoted a stamp of approval, a seal of authenticity, ownership, definiteness of purpose. So, because Abraham was already what?
Already.
He's already righteous. So when God says, now, everybody that comes after you, they're gonna have to do this. They have to do this. Otherwise, they're what? Just to cut off. They're disqualified from the inheritance. Okay. Galatians. Oh, wait, let me, one more verse here. No, that's good. Galatians. So, all that, because what Christ does is, even though Abraham was justified by faith and he was counted righteous, and then even though he was circumcised after that and began to circumcise his seed, they still they still weren't righteous. Put it this way, the deal hadn't been closed. The deal hadn't been sealed. The paperwork was there. Help me out here. All the terms were there. Here's the terms. You want the inheritance? Yes. You have to be righteous.
Yes.
Okay. You want the blessings?
Yes.
You have to be righteous.
Yes.
One thing. You want the spirit?
Yes.
You have to be righteous. The only problem was God said you're righteous, but Ed talked about it Sunday about the guy, what happened at the cross. Who was Abraham anyway?
I didn't know he was a Gentile.
Abraham?
So basically, Abraham had to become righteous for the seed, which is Christ. So.
Yeah, you know what? That's true. But who was Abraham? He was somebody's son, wasn't he?
Pharaoh.
Well, he was somebody else's son.
Adam. Well, you didn't say how far back.
Way back. He was son of who?
God.
He was son of Adam, right?
Which was a son of God.
Which means he was a what? Even though God pronounced him righteous, God still had to deal with the fact that he was what? He was tainted. Right? So, this son, right, was given the inheritance. Right? And he did what? So everybody under him was what?
Disqualified.
By reason of sin. They couldn't. So what it was, all they did was go through history with a promissory note. That makes sense? Rain check. He says, you meeting the terms, you're telling me you want to meet the terms, and I believe you do. So take this and hold it till later. Well, how much later? Just wait.
I ain't do prayer, God.
Well, what are we waiting for, God? Just wait. I'll tell you later. You do want it, right? Yeah. Just wait. And they go through history, get to Abraham, doing all the fine print being worked out, right? And they get to Moses, and then he adds the Galatians. Verse 18. He says this, for if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Well, wherefore, verse 19, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. So he says, although we went down through here, and then God added the law to the promise until the seed should come. Mm-hmm. both sons, right? This son, he sold it, right? This son says, I'm coming to do what? This son, I'm coming to redeem it. What does redeem mean?
Buy back.
Huh?
He says buy
back. I'm getting ready to buy it back, right? Mm-hmm. Who did he sell it to?
Satan.
So he says, I'm coming to get it back from. So he says, what? Even though he made all these, disqualified all these men, right? By his sin. That's why you get to Romans. He says, by one man's
act of righteousness.
Oh. One man's obedience shall many be made what?
Righteous.
That's how you get back in there. That's why he said in Galatians this. He says, and the law, verse 12, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that... Okay. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And then he pick up the next verse. He says, he hung on a tree that purpose and intent that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the what?
Promise
of the Spirit through
faith.
Not performance. He says, look, brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. He says, if I make a deal with Mike and we shake hands or we sign the contract, and that's just us.
Mm-hmm.
He said, hey, you sign. We watch Judge Judy. And every day you have people who, did you sign the contract? Yes, but did you, she don't talk as nice as we do.
No.
Did you sign the contract? And it says, yes. She says, I can't do anything with that.
You owe this person, get out.
Right. That's your fault. You're being stupid, right. But you can't disannul it. You can't come up and say, oh, that means nothing. God made a contract with Abram, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And now you could pick up your verse. He said, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Who's had he said, shall he not make it good? God, that is.
Uh-huh.
Now we deal with, now you know, you got business. You deal with people who shady. And he said, man, I'll pay you next week. I promise. Next week, can't find the guy.
You're looking for him.
You can have him sign it. I agree to pay you week by week until I pay you off. He's like, I didn't sign that. That's not my. They do it all the time. That's not my right. Let me see your driver's license. No, they did. It looked the same to me. But God says, I'm not like that. I promised him righteousness, inheritance, blessing, a seed, and I'm going to make it good. And he goes all through that multiplied seed until he gets to
Abram. Oh, Christ.
Until he gets to the, huh?
He is.
Until he gets to the seed. What seed? Why, what's so special about him?
He ain't tainted.
He's not tainted.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll be able to buy back the possession, and then I can give it to whomsoever I will.
After
you're adopted, right. So He says, now this is the son who gets it all back. He uses another name. He goes by another name.
Jesus.
Well, yeah, that too. Huh?
God.
Yeah, that's true too.
Son of righteousness.
Son of man.
Son of man.
So Adam and Jesus are the same people?
No. No. But what is that? What is that?
Okay, go ahead.
Adam was God's, God created him. So he was the son of God. Christ, God enfleshed himself in him. So he was the son of God. But back to the, he's the son of God, but he's also called the what?
Son of man.
Do you know why?
That's what he called himself.
Oh, you know what? Hebrews. I'm not, I won't have you guessing. Hebrews. Huh? Hebrews. So you, when you go through the Gospels and you're reading these things, and he'll say things like this. He'll say, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they say, some say Elias. Some say John the Baptist. Some say one of the prophets. And he says, who do you say I am?
Right.
And they say, thou art the
Christ.
The
Son of the Living God.
Okay, and so he begins to perform all these miracles to validate his authority. Hebrews 2. He begins to do all these things to validate himself, and then they says they try to catch him in the little insignificant things. So he's on the Sabbath day, and he heals a man on the Sabbath day, and they say, see. This can't be Son of Man or Son of God, because he's healing. He broke the Sabbath day. He's working on the Sabbath. So he says, let me ask you a question. What's easier for me to tell this man thy sins are forgiven or to heal him on the Sabbath day? What's easier? He said, but that you might know that the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.
Oh.
What? Oh, see, y'all ain't got the background, so you can't make the connection. But he says that you might. He says, right. He says, I created the Sabbath. So what's easier for me to say, thy sins be forgiven? Who can forgive sins but God?
Only God, yeah.
Duh. That's what he said. That's what I'm trying to tell you. What's easier? What would it take for you to believe me? What do you want me to do?
And he just performed a miracle.
That, right. He's okay. Let's move on. Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2.
To what?
2:9
In other words, you just can't make it everybody. All the time.
Right, he couldn't. Verse 9. But we see 2:9. But we see, I'm sorry, I lost my place. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. We see him crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man, for it became him, for whom, watch the verses, it became him, for whom are
all things,
and by whom are all things, in bringing many
sons
James,
unto
glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church, and I will sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I am the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the
sins of the people.
Now, I use that verse, but I'm not going to try to go into more a lot of detail. But what I wanted is the fact that he had to do what? He had to become a man. He had to. There's a doctrine that's taught in Scripture, and it's called the doctrine of the Redeemer, the Kinsman Redeemer. It has to be the man who, if you lose a possession, right? Mm-hmm. There has to be, if you want to redeem it, or you want to get it back, if you're not able, there has to be somebody in your family, the next of kin, who's able to get it back for you. The kinsman redeemer. But he has to be willing to do it.
Right.
He has to be able to do it.
Right.
And he cannot compromise his own situation to get it done. Hey, William, my car broke down. I really need a car, man, bad. I know you're a man of wealth, Boaz. I know you're a man of strength. So William says, hey, man, I can't do it. My money is set aside for something else. I've already got stuff worked out. I can't help you. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Or I got it. Plenty of it. But I don't want to help you. end the conversation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or says, well, if I give you this, then I'm not going to be able to meet my obligation on this. So he would compromise his own situation. That would disqualify him as my what? Kinsman redeemer. Well, here's Christ. He comes. He who was rich was made poor. Okay. So he gives up. He gives up. He owned it all, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He gives it up willingly. And he comes down and identifies himself with fallen man. That he would buy us back. Revelation chapter 5. When he talks about Christ being made a curse for us, this is what he's doing. He's buying us back to make us, to put us in a position to be useful. To put us in a position to put us in a position to get the inheritance.
Right.
Revelation 5. Verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and four and twenty elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. Why are you worthy? Why is he worthy? For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. So when he comes down here, that revelation is, in other verses, is summing up what he's coming, what he came to do. It's to redeem a people, right? Now, back to Galatians, because this is just a skeleton, because there's no way that you just can't do it in one day. Even the Galatians.
So the Son of Man is Jesus saying, I am man's redeemer.
Exactly. And when you, like you look at Revelation, who is able to do that?
Nobody.
Because if a man died, if he says, I'm going to die for you, your sins, that's like the thief on the cross. He said, we suffer a right. He said, but this man. So when he pays, what was it last? When he goes through life righteous without any sin, and gets to the cross, then we talked about it, and he says, it is finished, is fulfilled, everything that God required for righteousness, for a man to be just before God, and he does it. And then God says, kill him. That's why he says, my God, my God, I've been looking for this day. He didn't say that, did he? He said, why? Like he knew.
Why did he ask the question?
So that was the man.
He knew, but he had to do it. Mm-hmm. Right? But the only person that could do it was him. Right. That's why when you think about Paul's writings, he said this, to know, who knew, that God was in Christ
reconciling the world unto himself, not including their trespasses.
And when he does it, he says, I've done it. It's finished. That's why there's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved other than that name. That's why he says, because he was obedient unto the death of the cross, God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of one day, maybe not today, but one day, right? Mm-hmm. So he says, Christ was made a curse for us. Mm-hmm. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree, that he might redeem us from the curse of the law. He wanted to take you out of the disqualified bunch, uh-huh, and put you in a position to be qualified. And when you say yes, he says, you qualified.
So we don't have to do that now.
That's belief. When he...
You can't do that now.
What can... So the minute you know what? You say, I want to help him out. If you get anywhere close to his work, you just tainted it. That's why Paul writes in, when we were looking at Galatians, he said, oh, foolish Galatians, who have with you that you should not obey the truth? He says,
going back, huh?
That you shouldn't obey the gospel, he says, which is not another. There's not another, though there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of. Well, what is the good news of Christ?
He did it all.
He did it all. Some of it.
All.
Most of it.
All.
Three quarters of it.
All.
He did it all. So the minute you come up behind and says, he might have forgot something.
He left something out.
And he says, yeah, he wants you to believe it, what he did.
So once qualified, we can't unscramble an egg, right?
You can't. Oh, you mean... And that's another thing too, is when he does it, it's finished just like his other work.
it's a done deal.
So what he does is this, and the qualified for what? Qualified, she said, for service. That's right. See, all those are
petty.
Not petty, but all those are okay.
He's getting back to the original purpose in the garden.
Well, what was the original purpose in the garden?
To establish habitation, but he could live with his creation. That we could, that he could love us, and that we could return his love.
He died to bring us back to the Father.
Bring glory to God.
Most High God.
Y'all, didn't we go over this last week?
Yeah, I'm just not sure what you're wanting us to say. You're not giving us enough to understand. I mean, you want us to be possessor of heaven and earth? I mean, what do you...
Right. It's what? The what?
The possessor.
Oh, you know what? You just reminded me of something. The possessor of what?
Heaven and earth.
Okay, so now, you know what? I'm sorry if I'm making this seem harder than it is, but I don't want to. What I don't like to do is tell. I want you to.
Right.
If I tell you everything, how are you going to explain it to somebody else?
You got to give us enough to even know. We're not sure where you're trying to lead us, so we can't.
Y'all can't read my mind. Y'all don't.
You have read as much as I have, and as much as I know.
When we started, you remember when we started way back over here? And I said, the key to understanding what's going on after this is one word.
Repossession.
Two S's? Yes. That's it. Then, when you go through and you read with that in mind, you know why everything else is being done. I mean, when you read it, if you read with that, with you, if you read with that in mind, then you'll be able to connect things together. Because, okay, he puts Adam in. Let me read this. I printed this out. I printed it out so I wouldn't forget it. And I was about to forget it.
That's the Lord.
Huh?
That's the Lord.
Yeah, here it is. Oh, we're not even over there yet. It's coming up. But it's a word, and that the word that Paul uses is disposition. Okay. I don't even know where it is. I know I read it somewhere. But that's a legal term where it has to do with the transfer of property.
Inheritance or something like
it has to do with the transfer of property, right. So I was in one of my law books, and I read this. It said this. The action of distributing or transferring property or money to someone, in particular by bequest. That is, you know what? When a man dies, he leaves it. When I die, like your grandmother, when I die, I want Mike to get this. Or when I die, I want Gerald to get this. But he said this. It's two things. It's a conditional bequest. That is, a bequest that will be granted only if a particular event has occurred by the time of its operation. Mm-hmm. For example, a testator might write in the will that Annette will receive the house held in trust if she's married or if she has children. Or it's an executory bequest. That's a bequest that will be granted only if a particular event occurs in the future. For example, you might write that Annette will receive the house held in trust when she marries or when she has children. So when you look at this, I erased all that. God said this, you could be part of the inheritance. But the condition is this. Mm-hmm. You have to be righteous.
Right. Right.
Or when you get righteous. So if you're not, that's why you go through and you read things like this. Don't you know that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God?
Dispossess. Yeah.
The unrighteous, he's listing unrighteousness. You remember that? Verses like that? So, oh, yeah. So you see those things in there. And then we look at that. And he says, now, after you trust me, I'll impute righteousness to you. Well, that makes you able to be part of the what?
Inheritance.
And then, well, the other stuff, we'll pick up some more stuff later. But that's just getting you in, mm-hmm. Right? That getting you to be an heir.
Okay.
Now the other stuff, like I said, we'll pick up some other stuff next week, where we'll pick it up in verse. Wow. We started. No, I didn't. I didn't get anywhere. We didn't. We should have been.
We talked about a lot of stuff.
First, we're gonna start at verse 8. Well, we're going to start at verse 16 next week and get through chapter 3.
Hello?
Try to.
Don't hurry, Frank.
Try to, chapter 3.
Just the next step.
So let's stop there. Thank you. Lord, we do thank you for this time spent around your word. We pray for enlightenment, for edification as we study these things and run them through our minds. We know that a lot of things were said tonight. We just pray that some of those things might stick in our understanding, give us a hunger to study, to read, to believe, and to just to meditate on your word, that we might see the things that are freely given to us of God. Thank you for all these here once again. Lord, help our understanding, help our unbelief. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I want to talk more about our possessions.